Hallelujah. I set y'all up with that song, by the way. Hey. How many of you believe it? How many of you say to yourself and say to the Lord, you don't owe me anything? Amen. I've set y'all up. Luke chapter number 13 this morning. Thank you, Miss Caitlin. I appreciate you. Appreciate you helping us out. I'm going to start reading in verse number 1 this morning, but I'm not going to take my text until we get to about verse number 6, but I don't want to discount the first few verses there. I'm going to be preaching out of Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 10, but we're going to read the first 5 verses, and that way we can, it's just good, all right? Bible says there was present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans because they suffered such things? He says, I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Does everybody get that? That's Jesus speaking. There's a lot of people that want to talk about Jesus when Jesus comes. Jesus is all love, but he told the people here that unless they repent, they're going to face something very similar. Now, we know this is true because God himself, Jesus, he backed it up by referring back to it and saying, do you suppose that these Galileans were better or greater sinners because of it? There's still a thought mindset that when somebody's going through something, it must be because they're bad. And so we take that mindset. They had it back then. 2,000 years later, it's no different. If somebody's going through something, we look at it and think, well, they must be sinning. And if we got everything going our way, we think we must be doing good. I need somebody to help me. We think that if everything's going great in our life, that we must be good. We must be doing good. If I've heard this once, I've heard it 100 times. Well, I reckon the Lord's all right with me. He's blessing my socks off. Paul didn't have that testimony. Paul didn't get to say the Lord was blessing his socks off. Matter of fact, Paul was saying my socks was off. I was down in the dungeon, beat half to death, been killed, brought back to life, been shipwrecked, been messed up. Hey, I've been stolen from, been beaten and left for dead. You saying Paul wasn't spiritual? Before you answer that now, he wrote half of the New Testament. Y'all help me now. Don't get quiet on me right here. So can we really judge our spirituality based off of what we have? These people are a lot more evil than me. You and I that's got a lot more money than you and I'll ever see. There's people that don't believe in God that are billionaires, millionaires, and all that good stuff. Are they in the blessings of God? They deny his existence. Are they in the best? Y'all don't get quiet on me right here. Now, I'll preach right here. I wanted to preach later, but I'll preach right here. Jesus is trying to let them know something. Listen, unless you repent, you shall all likewise perish. In other words, it ain't based off how good you are. It's not based off how bad you are. Sudden judgment can come at any time. In other words, anybody could show up through that door right there and kill us all. Is everybody all right? Now I know we got things in place. I tell people all the time. If there's a mass shooting in here, it'll be because of crossfire. I need somebody to say amen. We got everybody packing. We got 80-year-old ladies that are packing. I can see it right now. One of them jump up. Get up! Hallelujah. Is everybody all right? We are a Second Amendment church. You come in here, you're going to be met with equal force. Hallelujah. Amen. Just don't be getting too excited. You might get shot by Granny over here. But there was sudden judgment, sudden death. And Jesus said, do you suppose that they were greater sinners? I think what he's trying to tell them is this is life. And your death can come at any time. And except ye repent, you'll likewise perish. He goes on, he says, or those 18 upon whom the Tower of Siloam fell and slew them. Think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I want to say this before I get into the message, because this ain't got nothing to do with it. Today could be your last day. This service could be your last service. This opportunity to accept Christ could be the last one you get. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. Matter of fact, I could stand Brother Sheldon up and he could tell you some stories about teenagers that thought they had the rest of their life in the prime of their life. With all the muscles, all that, playing football out there on the football field, running up and down a basketball court, fell over dead, done, over, better shape than you are in. A lot younger than you are. A lot better lifestyle than maybe you have lived. Gone. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Is everybody all right? Now I'm going to go into the message. Verse number 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well. And if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. I'm going to stop reading right there. 4 verses. A parable about a fig tree that was not bearing fruit. I got to looking at this thing and got to thinking about this week, and I'm going to try to preach this fast and get us out of here a little early, like a minute or two, all right? That's my desire, my heart's desire. Not saying it'll happen, but it's my heart's desire. But I want to take a look at the fig tree just for a little bit, and I want an application apply it to you and I. I want to say this morning that if we got real honest, there's some of us that are bearing no fruit. If we got real, real honest, there's some of us that think we're bearing fruit that ain't bearing as much as we should be bearing. And if we got real, 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 real honest, then we'd have to say every one of us has room for improvement. All right? Preacher included. All right? I mean that. Preacher included. A lot of my messages are, I try to be very transparent with you. Because I believe y'all know that I struggle with the same things that you do. And when I preach a message, it ain't preaching at you, it's preaching with you. Because I'm in the same boat. As we look at this morning, I'm going to give you 4 things. I'm going to preach them as quickly as I can. But I want you to notice first off the Lord of the fig tree. The Bible says in verse number 6 that a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. We notice that he has possession of the vineyard and therefore possession of the fig tree. I need somebody to help me right here. That means that you don't belong to you. If you're a Christian in this building this morning, you don't belong to you. You gave that up when you chose to be a Christian. When you asked Jesus to come into your heart. When you accepted the Lord as your personal Savior. You no longer had ownership of your life. It now belongs to the Lord of the vineyard. And we know the Lord of the vineyard, here represented by the Father, right here. He owns the vineyard. And he has planted you in a place where you can grow. I can't get too much on that right there. But I want to say this. When we look at the Lord of the vineyard, or the Lord of the vineyard rather, we see that he has a ownership or proprietorship. We also see that he has a privilege. That privilege is to demand fruit out of us. Since he purchased us, since he bought us, since he planted us, since he's purchased us, he has a right to expect something out of us. I need somebody to help me. We live our lives like we just go around and do whatever we want to. We live for ourselves. We're selfish human beings. And so we live for ourselves and the pleasures that we want to do. If we want to go ride in the boat, we go ride in the boat. We want to go jump on the Harley, we go jump on the Harley. We want to go dirt road riding, we go dirt road riding. We do whatever we want to. But the Lord has a right to demand something out of you and I. I need somebody to help me right here. Do you believe that or not? Do you think God saved you? Let me ask you this. I'll preach this until everybody gets with me right here. You'll make this sermon as long as you want it, all right? I'm as serious as I can be. Some of you are so mad about being in church. Don't come. You sit here with a mad look on your face. Don't come to church. I ain't begging you to come. I'll get somebody else to come. I'll get 10 people to come in your place. Go your behind on somewhere else. Is everybody all right? Is everybody okay? Come in here and think you're going to intimidate somebody. Oh, blow it up at somebody. You want to fight? Let's fight. If you don't want to fight, go find somewhere else to go to church. Like a punk. Get tired of that junk. Everybody tough when they sit. Everybody, is everybody all right? Everybody tough until somebody's in their face. And then all of a sudden, I can't get on that. Makes me sick to my stomach. You don't want to be here? Don't be here. Don't ruin it for the rest of us. I don't want you here anyhow. Amen. Is everybody all right? Get tired of it. I really do. I want people here who want to worship. You don't want to worship? Go on. You don't want to be here? Go on. Ain't nobody asking you to be here. Don't come here for some girl. Don't come here because somebody told you to come here. You don't want to be here? Go your behind on. Hallelujah. I am not on steroids, by the way. Felt a little roid rage right there. I ain't never done it. Shell, I ain't never done it. I don't know. Lord of the fig tree, his proprietorship. Let's get the Holy Ghost back. Somebody needed to hear it. You ain't doing me no favors. You ain't doing your family no favors. You ain't doing nobody else any favors in here. Find you somewhere else to go to church. The Lord of the fig tree, his proprietorship, his privilege. He has a right to demand something out of us. His patience. Bible said he came around 3 years wanting fruit and didn't get it. 3 years he came inspecting the fig tree that he had planted, the fig tree that he had purchased, the fig tree that he'd paid a great price for. 3 years he came looking and it never bear any fruit. I noticed the location of the fig tree. He put it in a good place in the middle of his vineyard, and he gave a caretaker to take care of it. I like that. I'm not walking through this life alone. I got somebody walking by my side. I got somebody that's taking care of things. In other words, somebody that's plucking weeds when they need to be plucked out of my life. Somebody that's making sure I got the right amount of water so that the conditions are right in my life to produce something. He's placed me in a place and he's given me some things to take care of me where I can find nutrients and get what I need. Somebody, is everybody all right? I got to thinking about this thing and thinking about Calvary Baptist Church and how God has placed us in a place where you and I can get watered. We can get refreshed. We can get exactly what we need. We can get fed.
Matter of fact, you can scoot up to the table around here on Sunday morning, Sunday night. You can get up here, you get up here early and get to Sunday school and get you a meal before church ever starts. You come on a Wednesday night and you can get you a meal. And I ain't talking about chicken strips. I need somebody to help me right here. Not only that, on Monday night and Tuesday night, you can get involved in one of our colleges. We got a ladies, the ladies meet for a Bible study during the year as well. You got plenty of options to find food, water, anything you need. It's right here. Why a caretaker? God has provided you and I with a caretaker. We see the Lord of the vineyard, but we see the location of the fig tree. He had all he could ever want. And can I say this? You got all you could ever want. Now, some of you mad at me right now because I got mad, and I apologize for getting mad, but I'm just tired of the junk. I really am. I want to go to church, and I want people to come that want to go to church. And if you don't want to be here, like I said, there might be an opportunity for you to go somewhere else and let us get somebody that wants to come to church here. But as we go through this thing, I want you to notice something. You are in a good place. There ain't a whole lot of churches that are getting the preaching that we get, getting the singing that we get, getting the worship that we get, getting the training that we get, getting the opportunities that we get. We have plenty of opportunities to bear fruit. The Lord's been patient with us. The Lord's been patient with us, giving us plenty of opportunities, provided us a caretaker, took care of us, weeded some things out of our lives, made sure that the ground was soft so we could receive fertilizer, receive the things that we need. Can I say this? Sometimes the things that we need, look like poop on the outside. How about that? For lack of better wordage. But it's exactly what God has to put us through. Oh, I need some help. We're not careful, we'll be that fig tree that sits over there and says, man, this stinks. I don't want none of that. I said, buddy, all right? It don't look good. I don't want any of that. It stinks. I don't want any of that. It's going to get me dirty. I don't want it. Is everybody all right? But it was exactly what I needed. Now, I want you to notice two other things, and I'm done here. I want you to notice not only the Lord of the fig tree and the location of the fig tree here, but I want you to notice the lacking of the fig tree. He said in verse number 7, that 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Tree had every opportunity. Had the best owner that you could have. The greatest care that you could have, and yet it did not produce. It had not produced. When I look at it, I see the age of the fig tree, and I think to myself, he said it was 3 years. I want to say something. Did you know that the disciples had 3 years of training? And then they turned the world upside down. How long have we been sitting in church? So they had a better teacher. They had Jesus. Yeah, but there was a Judas in there. And you said that, you probably Judas. Somebody help me right there. But think about it. They had 3 years to produce fruit. The disciples had 3 years of training. And then they went and turned the world upside down. I got to thinking about that in my own life. I failed. I praise the Lord for the fruit that I've seen. But I feel like that tree out there that's just got fruit on one side and it ain't completely full. Got a little bit of fruit, but it ain't completely full. I got to thinking about this thing. We had the opportunities. God has allowed us and given us a perfect place. Man, I'm telling you, it ain't perfect. Let me just go back. Church ain't perfect. It ain't never going to be perfect. And no church is perfect. But here, y'all, if you've never been to another church, then you don't know what I'm talking about right here.
But I watched. Can I just speak candidly just for a moment? I'm fixing to be done, I promise. We bring people in to have revival, Brother Scott. And we do more for them than they do for us. I ain't kidding you. I got notes on my desk from Brother Jason Hawley and his wife. Text messages from Brent. They come to this church, they're the ones that are revived. They're the ones that are recharged. They're the ones that are rejuvenated. But you and I are in it all the time, and so we just take it for granted. We see these services Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and we just take it for granted that this is how church is supposed to be. They come, and for the first service, they're sitting over there squalling. I'm like, y'all ready? Mm-mm. But Brent was like, why'd you even call us up? Just let the choir sing. Well, I mean, I agree. The choir is wonderful. But I did ask you to come, so I thought I'd give you an opportunity to do what we're asking you to do, and that's minister. And he's like, preacher, this is helping us. Preacher, this is helping my family. Preacher, this is helping Katie. Preacher, this is helping my children. Kids out there crying, don't want to leave. We take it for granted. We take it for granted. We've been placed in a good place. I don't know why God would have anything to do with any of us. Ain't none of us got all of our T's crossed and our I's dotted, at least in the right place. Somebody help me. We're just a bunch of misfits. Lord help. Could you imagine an usher walking down the aisle in a pair of shorts at another church? He'd be thrown out. Could you imagine Wednesday night of revival? A bunch of 10, 11, 12-year-olds screaming, hallelujah! Taking up an offering. We take for granted what God has placed us in. My question to you this morning is, are you bearing fruit? Are you bearing fruit? You say, yeah, preacher, I'm bearing fruit. Are you bearing enough fruit? I don't think I am. I praise the Lord. I do have some fruit in my life. I thank the Lord for that. But am I bearing fruit like I should? How am I going to sit here and tell you need to bear fruit? And I've already seen places in my life where I need to bear fruit. God's given us a perfect place. God's given us a place that's just wonderful. A caretaker that's just wonderful. I ain't talking about me. I ain't got nothing to do with it. I need somebody to help me right here, the Lord. The Holy Spirit meets with us in such a way that He helps us and He ministers to us. We leave out of here refreshed. We leave out of here rejuvenated. We leave out of here almost every week. Brother Brent told me this. He said, we go to a church service and we're trying to get people in revival. We come here, we feel like y'all already in revival. He said, we feel like every time we come here, y'all just stay in revival. I was thinking, man, how I failed. Been placed in a good place. Given all the benefits, all these things, I ought to be producing more fruit, but yet I'm not. That leads me to the last point. I'm done. The love of the fig tree. We talked about the Lord of the fig tree. We talked about the location of the fig tree. We talked about the lacking of the fig tree. It lacked in production, but I want you to notice this, the love of the fig tree. So cut it down. Let me say this. Let me go back one verse, if you will. It says, cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Let me say this and I'm going to move on. But the lacking of the fig tree in its own life caused it to be burdensome in the lives of the others. It was cumbereth the ground. That means that just me sitting on a pew every week by not bearing fruit, I could be causing problems for others. So that brings me to the love of the fig tree. This is what I liked. Is everybody all right? We ain't liked all the what we've heard so far. But this is what I like, the love of the fig tree. He said, cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? Go to the next verse, if you will, Miss Jenny. And he answering said, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. You know what I thought when I was reading this? Can I put it in cotton patch language? God, give them another chance. Let me pour into them some more. Let me pour into them some more and see if they don't produce fruit. Then I got to thinking about this revival this week and how God just poured into us some more and poured into us some more. And so now, our responsibility. I notice, let me give you these three subpoints and I'm done. His regard, he loved us and gave us another chance. How many of you are excited you get another chance? How about this? His removal, he said, let me dig about it. He said, there's still some things I need to remove out of his life. Amen. Hey, there's still some things I need to clear out the way. And then let me pour something into it. Let me refresh it. Let me give it something that'll bring life. Is everybody all right? I'm thankful for another chance. I'm thankful for second chances. She's coming to the pen. I'm done. The question this morning to you is, are you producing? Say, yes, sir, I'm producing. Then are you producing what you think you should be? If not, why don't you join me around the altar? God's given us a wonderful privilege. He's given us a wonderful place. He's given us a wonderful advantage that many believers don't have. What are we doing with it? He's given us opportunities that others don't have. What are we doing with it? We'll say producing fruit isn't just seeing others get saved, although I do believe that's a great part of it. There's a lot said in the Bible about fruit. The Bible tells you you'll know a tree by its fruit. The Bible tells that a good tree won't produce bad fruit. The Bible tells a bad tree won't produce good fruit. There's the fruits of the Spirit. Kindness, gentleness, meekness, temperance. Lord, help us. All kind of fruit that you and I can produce. Good fruit. Heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody's looking around. I wonder this morning, I talked earlier, I started this thing off in the first five verses. Jesus instructed us of this. Nobody's looking around. Jesus instructed us of this. He said that except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. We had two examples. Two examples of people who got up that morning and thought they would go home and sleep in their bed that night. Two examples of circumstances that was beyond their control that placed them in eternity. Today, there are circumstances beyond mine and your control. But today, you could face eternity. So my question to you this morning is this. Heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around. If you were to die sitting in the chair where you're at, do you know where you'd spend eternity if you faced it today? Don't take any chances this morning. Do you know where you'd spend eternity if you was to face it today? You say, preacher, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure. I think I will, but I'm not sure. If that's you this morning, then this is what I want you to do. I want you to look right up at me. Make eye contact with me. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank y'all for being honest. Thank you. You can put your heads down. I'm not going to embarrass y'all. Anybody else, be honest with me this morning. You're not alone. Preacher wants to help you, but I can't help you unless you admit, unless you face it. Do you know where you'd spend eternity? Thank you. I appreciate you being honest. You can put your head down. I'm not going to embarrass you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your head down. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I come before you this morning, Lord, because I'm burdened. Lord, like any service when we preach, Lord, and Lord, there's a recognition of those that need salvation. God, my heart goes out to them. I've been in their shoes. I've sat in their seat. God, I pray, Lord, this morning, Lord, that you would give them the courage. God, they've already shown the faith. They've shown enough faith to be saved already. God, I pray, Lord, for courage. The Bible says that we wouldn't be ashamed. Lord, I pray today, Lord, that they don't feel ashamed about you. Lord, this morning, I ask you to work. Even now, before we get out of this service, Lord, you know the hearts, the ones that have looked up. God, I pray even now, God, that you continue to convict their hearts. Lord, that they would act upon it. In Jesus' name. Heads are still bowed and eyes are closed with me. If you looked up at me, I want you to know something. You can leave out of here knowing where you'd spend eternity. Bible tells us that. I'm not going to tell you what a Baptist says. I'm not going to tell you what a Methodist says. I'm not going to tell you what the Catholic Church says. We'll show you from the Bible. You'll see what God says if you'll let me do that. But I told you I wouldn't embarrass you, and I'm not, so this is what I'm going to ask you to do. I want you to get up out of your seat and come right here to where I'm at. Meet me right here. Come on. Do it now. Don't sit there and be convinced not to do it. Come on and do it now. Let God do something now. God's working now. Come on now. Come here, Brother Richard. God bless you, Richard. God bless you. Come here. God bless you. God bless you. Tell me your name again. Tell me your name again. Maybe there was somebody else. Maybe you didn't look up. Won't you come? Won't you come this morning? Won't you get the thing settled? Won't you leave out of here being able to lay your head down on a pillow at night? Quit worrying about if you've done enough to get to heaven. Ain't none of us done enough. The Bible says for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us have done enough. But I want you to know something this morning. God will take you just as you are. Say, even with my sin, preacher? Absolutely. Say, preacher, even what I did last night? I ain't asking you what you did last night. I don't care what you did last night. I don't care what you did last week. Won't you come? Allow God to change your life. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you this morning. God, I sure am thankful. Lord, for how good you've been to me. I go back to the beginning of the service as we sang, Lord, I'm thankful. God, as we sang one more time, Lord, as we sang, you do not owe me. God, I think about, Lord, how good you've been to me. Lord, September 28, 1997 seemed like a long time ago, but Lord, at the same time, seems like just yesterday, Lord, you loving on me in church. Lord, telling me how much you love me, even though I'm bad as I was. God, I look at my life all along the way. I failed you many times. I've not been the Christian that I should be. God, I'm thankful for mercy. I'm thankful for another opportunity. I'm thankful, God, that you didn't cut me down. Lord, I'm thankful, Lord, that you dug some things out of my life and put some things into me, made me a little more fruitful along the way. God, I pray this morning we take that home with us today. God, I'm thankful for that, those that have served. I'm saying, Lord, everyone that's here, God, we've all had our times of unfruitfulness. And God, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that we'd submit to the caretaker this morning. Lord, allow you to get some things out of the way and allow you to pour some things into us, Lord, that we may be able to bear fruit. Lord, not for our name's sake, but for your name's sake. God, that we may please the one that has purchased us. Lord, that we may please the one that has planted us. Lord, that we may please the one that has taken care of us. God, help me to bear fruit. Help me to be fruitful. God, I pray you take our services today. God, may we go out of here, Lord, refreshed, renewed, thankful. Thankful that we got another opportunity. Thankful we got a second chance. Thankful that we didn't get cut down. But Lord, also feeling obligated, Lord, to do our part for the kingdom of God. Lord, to be fruitful. Lord, not just in bringing others to Christ, but Lord, to be fruitful in our life, the fruits of the Spirit. May we work on those this week. God, may you continue to work on us. Lord, we'll be sure to give you the honor and glory for it. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.